All right, should we move on to the Panna Cotta Army?
I feel like it's a good time for it.
I can't imagine your time. Everything to you, so black or white. Porcupine. You don't mean to be unkind. Porcupine, you never know what you will find.
Another nice, soothing, pleasant song. You know, it's a judicious use of synth in the background. I thought it was a great singing voice. And, you know, I'm always hoping for harmonies and backing vocals, but I didn't miss them in this song. You know, he really carries this song really well on his own with his voice.
Yeah, there are harmonized mandolins, so you don't need harmonized backing vocals.
That must have been it.
How does that work with mandolins? I know with guitars it's guitarmonies. What would you call it with mandolins? Is that I don't think there's a
mandolamides.
Yeah, it's a little more awkward.
It's called bluegrass.
Solid point. I would say that the chord structure was fantastic. It's a pretty damn solid song throughout, and lovely lead guitar parts throughout. They were very tasty on the lead guitar.
The string noise bothered me.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Really? It was. It's like the only thing I wrote down.
Oh, there you go.
There was a lot of string noise just from changing chord positions.
Yeah, I heard that too.
It was really distracting for me. I definitely heard all of the things that you guys are talking about, all the good things about it. But, you know, sometimes you just get something in your head and you can't get it out. And for me, it was the string noise.
That's fair.
I noticed it a lot more when I was listening on crappy earbuds, but it kind of went away a little bit when I had my full headphones on.
How did you know about my crappy earbuds?
I'm going to say, I didn't really clock that string noise. Like squeaks?
Like squeaks.
Every breath you take squeaks and stuff like that? Or
yeah, but even more so.
Oh, okay.
It's almost on every chord change, too, so it became really noticeable to me. Yeah, it might have been the fact that I wasn't using good headphones. It's possible.
Perhaps it's just the microphone is super, super close up.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Didn't want to piss off his neighbors while recording the guitar part.
Fuck your neighbors. I'm catching on.
I really love the chord changes on the chorus. Like, the chorus gets sort of melancholy, right? And it just sounds a little bit sad. Some of those chord changes are really pretty and really sad. And I don't know enough about music theory to know exactly how that worked, but it's
Mo
right.
will take over for that. Mo knows all the music theory.
Yeah, but I didn't take this song apart, so I can't really tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely some minor key shit happening here.
I mean, if you want to give me like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Quite a run.
The only other note that I had about this song was that I felt the vocal phrasing was a little bit on the nose, just rhythmic phrasing. And what I have written down here is that, like, I wanted to hear how Bowie would have done it. Because if you listen to, like, a lot of Bowie, especially later in his life when he, like, you know, has made his money and doesn't give a fuck anymore, every vocal performance that he does is phrased in a way that's motivated by the lyrics. And so he will extend words or he'll put emphasis in different places. And it's all about emphasizing the poetry.
Right. I hear exactly what you're talking about. I have a song called Over the Ocean. When I sing the word ocean, I make it really long. And like I hold the note for a long time because it's the word is ocean and ocean is large. So I make the note large, like where it's, you know, intentionally. Like I think there's a term for that I'm not remembering. But it's like verbal painting or something like that. You know?
Yeah, it adds emphasis to the lyric when everything's not delivered the same way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can feel it a little bit. And I wanted to hear a little bit of that because I felt like the lyrics were good, you know? And I just felt like they could have been performed to a higher potential.
Okay.
I think there's a lot that songwriters could learn from studying poetry. Like, you know, emphasizing strong beats and weak beats and knowing what iambs are and figuring out how to align things on beats. I think there's a lot to know there. I know that I certainly have a lot to learn there.
Even just a bigger emphasis on syllables, because that comes back to that shoehorning thing where you've come up with some sort of a melody that fits really well with seven syllables, and then you're throwing 13 of them in there and completely ruining the melody that you've set up. That happens quite often.
There is a way to make it work if you want to, but you have to know that you have to do it.
Yeah, just even recognize that it's a thing.